Welcome back to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science with me, Michelle Hammond. Despite being more digitally connected than at any point in human history, many people are feeling more alone than ever before. Loneliness has now become such a significant issue that health organisations across the world are beginning to describe it as a public health challenge. But what's fascinating is that the importance of human connection is not a new discovery. Across ancient philosophy, traditional medicine, and indigenous cultures, there has long been a shared understanding that human beings are not designed to live in isolation. The Greek philosopher Aristotle famously described humans as social animals, meaning that we flourish through community. And within traditional Chinese medicine, health was never viewed purely as something happening inside the body. It was understood as a state of harmony, harmony with nature, harmony with ourselves, and just as importantly, harmony with the people around us. In fact, classical Chinese medicine recognized that prolonged sadness, grief, or emotional isolation could disturb the flow of qi, the body's vital life energy. In other words, connection has always been considered part of health. And what's interesting today is that modern science is increasingly confirming something our ancestors seem to intuitively understand: that human beings don't just benefit from connection, we need it. So today, on this episode of Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science, we're exploring loneliness, why it's rising, who it affects, and what we can do about it. To begin, I spoke with Jean-Claude Arton from Loneliness Global Action, an organisation working internationally to raise awareness of loneliness as a growing societal issue. Jean-Claude brings a truly unique perspective to this space. Originally trained in physics and mathematics, he began his career as an officer in the French Air Force, before going on to become a serial innovator across some of the most advanced fields of modern science and technology. His work has spanned advanced optics, robotics, virtual and augmented reality, artificial intelligence, and biotechnology, constantly exploring how technology can extend and enhance human life. But in recent years, his focus has shifted towards something more human: the global loneliness crisis, driven by a profound commitment to human longevity and well-being. Jean-Claude has invested significantly into understanding how loneliness is shaping individuals, communities, and society as a whole. And what's particularly fascinating is that his work now centres on developing what he calls emotional AI, not to replace human connection, but to help rekindle it, to bring people out of isolation and back into real-world relationships. At a time when many feel technology is pulling us apart, he's exploring whether it might also help bring us back together. It is an absolute pleasure to have you join me on this episode on the importance of human connection and the escalating epidemic of loneliness plaguing us all. Jean-Claude, welcome to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm very glad to be on the air with you. And I think that we need more people like you to make loneliness loud. Loud that we need everyone around the world to hear what we have to say. So thank you again.
Well, I'm really looking forward to our conversation. And Jason, in your TED talk titled Disrupting Loneliness, Can AI Lead the Way? You kick off by highlighting that loneliness is not just an emotional experience. So can you start by explaining your perspective on what you think happens to communities and societies when loneliness becomes widespread?
You're right. The Association of Psychologists in the United States define loneliness as a discomfort. It's way more than a discomfort. WHO, for example, gave reports in July that say that about 900,000 people die every year from loneliness. So we are not talking something in the future, like with the global warming. We talk about something now. And according our own calculation at Loneliness Global Action, we believe it's way more. But as WHO admitted, they don't have enough data, you know, to give the real number. Well, it doesn't matter. It's too much.
When you hear numbers like that, it really stops you in your tracks, because this isn't a niche issue. This is something affecting millions of people quietly and often invisibly.
When we talk about socialization, I like to say where you socialize, you civilize. And it's quite simple. You know, even Romans understood that in terms of stability. Loneliness is due to many, many factors. We can talk, of course, about too much social media, too much dating and swiping and scrolling and etc. But honestly, it's not really the point. The point is people don't have any more perspective in life. Why I'm here on Earth? What can I do for others? And that's why loneliness is not being alone or feeling sad or bad because we are not surrounded by people. You can feel lonely with many people around. It's more about missing a symbiosis, like a social symbiosis. Means like I'm useful for someone and someone is useful for me. I feel I belong.
That distinction feels so important because it means loneliness isn't about how many people are around us. It's about whether we feel seen, heard, and that we belong. Speaking about economic impact of loneliness and why businesses and governments should care about this issue, can you share a little bit in your research about that bigger global financial impact and economical impact as a whole?
Yes, Michelle. Today we hear most of the governments around the world cutting the public budgets, trying to make economy. The real point is today, loneliness, probably a $2 trillion issue. When I mean a $2 trillion issue, is that what loneliness costs to humanity. It is about absenteeism. It is about lack of productivity. It is about health, like all the people, you know, who are dying from loneliness directly or indirectly or just sick. When we talk about the problem in the UK, which is most probably over £100 billion pounds a year. And today, nothing is done. No one is moving. And it's not association or an NGO that can really correct that. It requires a global mobilization.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, one of the other things on your TED talk that really stood out for me was you gave this little example about loneliness being this huge global societal crisis and how with that lack of connection, we have evident decline in brain sort of function and oxytocin sensors that kind of help sort of guide and govern us. I mean, that loneliness does become this physical disability and you reference it as being socially blind. And you talked about less empathy, less belonging and how that led to more anger and conflict.
Yeah. So it's, in fact, the physiological effect of being lonely. And I will say something. I'm working currently on some researches and I never talked about that before. So that will be a first time. Today, we find more and more young kids who suffer from attention disorder. When a pregnant woman has a stress and especially recurrent stress, which is the case with loneliness, you are pushing cortisol into the fetus. And not only it creates a stress, it modifies the way the brain is built. So when we talk about the sensor for the oxytocin, you see here, I can talk about just like from birth is making huge trouble in our population and in our future population. And these kind of things, I'm not scared to say it is disability.
So what we're really hearing here is that connection isn't just emotional, it's biological. It shapes how our body functions and ultimately how well we live.
You know, Michelle, what I was explaining before about decivilization is that when people feel lonely, what they feel rejected or they have the fear of rejection.
Yeah.
You can go into all of kind of group that where they will feel they belong. It can be sect, can be extreme political party,
yeah,
or just like gangs, you know, because they have the feeling that they exist for something, they have a purpose. And when we will understand that it's about purpose, we will already be capable to save a lot of things. You know, I really like Dr. Stephanie Cacioppo from the University of Chicago. In her book, which is Wired for Love, and I really advise everyone who wants to understand how it's working to read that book. So this neurologist explained that the worst things to do when someone is suffering from loneliness is to ask this person, what can I do for you? No, you are just like telling that person, oh my, you're so a loser, you know, like sounds desperate. In fact, what we need to do is to give purpose. You know, I learned that even with my own kid. I was doing it wrong. It's like, what can you do for me? That is the real thing. You belong if you have a purpose in that term. So for extremists, it's very easy then to use that loneliness pandemic. And it's not just about poverty. The point is, if people don't have something to do with their life, don't have a purpose which is bigger than them, then you can put in their head something that is not necessarily good for humanity. I want a peaceful world. You know, before we start this discussion, you asked me what I want in life. I'm not expecting a better world. I just expect like a world which is not worse than it will be if no one is acting. We have a lot to do to bring all the communities into a new path, on a path where we don't make connection to make connection. We give purpose to people. That's very, very important.
Yeah, beautiful. And actually, you know, that kind of moves us on beautifully, because one of the fascinating parts in the TED Talk when I was listening to it is the role of technology and even AI and the part it might play in addressing loneliness.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's touchy, because when I'm talking about AI, immediately people think, oh, yeah, replacing friends with AI. Oh, my God, you know, no, no, no. That's not at all what I recommend. An AI is not your friends. And a porn star is not your girlfriend. So for me, to use AI to solve the problem of loneliness by replacing friends is really what porn is to love. AI as a companion for friendship make no sense for me. I think it would be a disaster. So of course it can contribute, you know, to release a bit the pain, but it's definitely not a sustainable solution. But AI is great at one thing. AI is great at understanding complex patterns. So where AI is super interesting is AI can engineer serendipity. AI can do a lot of great things into the socialization industry.
So it's really about using technology and AI and advances in that to help socialize, re-socialize, connect people, give them that sense of purpose and belonging, but then to take that into real life and to take that into real connection and physical interaction.
Yeah, it's a... In fact, what we like to say, it's one of our motto, is to bring people from virtual to real. People who say like, okay, we must cut everything which is digital, especially for the young people. I think that it is maybe not the right things to do. Why? Because people will need to be connected with their tool. People will need to be connected with their phone. We already go through that phase in our civilization, and I don't think that anyone will want to go back. So I'm someone very pragmatic.
Mm.
But I think that we can help people thanks to the digital, thanks innovation like AI, we can bring back people to meet again, you know, to meet in real life again. And amazingly, young people are interested about that. They say, okay, social media is not good for us, we know, but still we want to stay connected, we want to know. But the problem is where to meet. There is definitely a lack of safe place where people and young people can meet.
JC, if we were to design a society that absolutely supports human connection to the best of its ability, what are the top things you think we need to rethink?
I think that your government, Michelle, under Theresa May, if I remember well, who started the loneliness ministry, is the first things to do. I believe that government, because we started with the cost, but behind the cost, there is also opportunity to create millions of jobs, micro businesses, and even there is a definitely place for a big tech or big company, because in the Maslow pyramid, belonging and love is the only layer where you even not find a company bigger than 10 billion. The largest is Match Group, Tinder, if you prefer. But it's so small. It's 10 billion. When in all the other layer of the Maslow pyramid, you find companies in 100 billions and trillions of dollars. So I think that we need people in charge in the country to both cut the cost by acting. I believe that the solution is through entrepreneurs, micro-entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, of course, association. I believe that humanity has to wake up, because we humans have the solution. That's what we call social civilization. Civilization is represented by governments. Doesn't matter if it's a dictator or if it's a democracy. All around the world, we see that even the worst country in terms of freedom and democracy have the same issue with loneliness. Yeah. So I believe that it's really something we have to push. We need someone who is accountable. There are so many things that can be done to encourage people, to motivate people to go in that direction. Because trust me, it is a $2 trillion opportunity. Yeah. We talk about an opportunity of business during the next 5 years. And I hope like some young entrepreneur who will hear that will say, oh, maybe I have to do something there.
Yeah.
We talk about a market that can be the same size than the military, one third of the oil and gas industry. So we are talking about something massive. So solution, we are in modern world. Solution is most of the time economic, and loneliness is part of this economical problem. Belonging is the gap. So we need to work on the belonging economy.
You're listening to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science, here on UK Health Radio. Stay with us, because after the break, we'll explore what rebuilding connection looks like in practice and how small human moments can make a profound difference.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good, Welcome back to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science on UK Health Radio. Before the break, we heard how loneliness is becoming a global societal issue. But what does that look like in everyday life? And how do we begin to rebuild connection? While loneliness is a global issue, the solutions often begin much closer to home. I spoke with Tim Leach, Chief Executive of Wavelength, the world's oldest loneliness charity. For nearly a century, Wavelength has been working quietly but powerfully to reconnect people who are isolated. Originally through simple acts like providing radios and televisions, and today through research, partnerships, and community-based solutions that address loneliness at its root. Tim brings both strategic insight and deep human understanding to his work, exploring not just what loneliness is, but what it truly takes to help people feel connected again. Because at its heart, this isn't just about statistics or systems, is it? It's about people, about feeling seen, valued, and that we belong. Tim, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here with us on UK Health Radio. What is loneliness and why do people get lonely?
There are different levels of loneliness. So you might want to score them 1 to 4, for example. And people can move through those gradually, or people can jump. And we've seen extraordinary times, I suppose pandemic saw people jumping from one level right to the highest level possible. An interesting group is people who are born lonely, endemically are lonely. And that tells us a number of different things. It tells us it's not just about circumstances, not about the amount of friends you have. A classic definition of loneliness is that you have a dissatisfaction amount of social connections you have. That is counterplayed by this particular group. Against that, we do know that loneliness has particular triggers. So it's a normal and natural thing which is there to try and bound us together socially as groups. It's a very underlying instinct of ours. So number one, I would say people shouldn't be worried about being lonely. But, you know, Wavelength, we do want people to be happier, more productive and healthier as well. So I would definitely say loneliness is not bounded by age. But we relate to this type of loneliness more than anything else because we can understand it very easily. As we get older, our friends are dying, our partners pass, and those connections are gone. So what I like to think about in terms of loneliness, more of a definition, is it's about belonging. And that disfractionation to belonging is very important. But we find within younger people, and I'm talking really from teens up to, say, 26 or so.
Yeah.
It's very important for younger people to feel agency as well as belonging. So the ability to change and have impact. We know that loneliness is a direct driver to anxiety and depression. So it's key that people are supported within those areas. And then I think building groups which will allow people to belong to them are of extraordinary importance. And the way that people have communicated over time has radically changed. So we have a very strange relationship in terms of how we view pieces of technology coming in and how we see those. And we almost have a backlash against it as a society. So I can give you examples from, say, the introduction of the novel. You know, young women not only being taught how to read, but were sitting there and not watching the fire with the parents, but at the head in the book. And it's those sorts of reactions we are now having to face. My son is communicating, has found his tribe through playing on Xbox, PlayStation, etc. But the friendships and the real-life friendships he's gained from that are immense, particularly when he's living in a village and isolated. I think it's very dangerous to limit those, and actually to encourage people to network with their peers is a fantastic thing. There's a huge economic impact as well. And that's something which we care about at Wavelengths. It's estimated the cost to the NHS is £900 per patient, driven by loneliness. So if you could actually start putting something in across local and national government and services, one would be saving a lot of money. In terms of employers as well, the bill is huge. I mean, it's estimated if you lift somebody out of medium to high levels of loneliness, you are impacting that family unit by raising their income potential by £10,000 per family unit. And if you think how that then reflects on where we are economically at the moment, that's a huge advantage to us. So a lot of the cost-saving government are trying to make at the moment could just be answered by tackling loneliness.
Incredible. And actually, on the Wavelength sort of website, you've got some really interesting stats about the health implications of loneliness. So, of course, we've got this kind of impact within our communities and directly within kind of government sort of costing and the NHS. But actually, the personal cost of loneliness in regards to our direct health and how that becomes a gateway into other things.
Well, I think I've alluded to some of the mental health impacts which can happen. And if you think about the strain on that part of the NHS in terms of what we could actually look at preventatively, which seems to be this 10-year strategy, but when we say it is loneliness on the agenda, actually the NHS hasn't got that. It does practice something called social prescribing, which is basically saying it's not the NHS's issue, let's force it off into volunteers and NGOs.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the chances and the opportunities there have are very low because of funding and sector and the pressures on that sector. But also, once somebody has been lonely and isolated for 3 to 6 months, their ability to produce social connections and take those up to convert back into that feeling of belonging is pretty null and void. So throwing money into that side of the NHS is probably a waste of time, a waste of money.
Yeah.
But we know other things are direct impacts on health. So we know it's just been shown you're more likely to have a heart attack. You're more likely to die if you're lonely. So it cuts life expectancy. It has a direct impact on how you're coping, how your immune system operates. And there's things which can be very simply done about that. And I would encourage people to look at. The other side that people are looking at the moment, which I think is a very medicalized approach to this, is they're looking for a cure to loneliness. So once somebody's lonely, what do we do about it? And actually, we probably need to understand the roots of loneliness, the different triggers, and also start to ask smarter questions. I mean, is there an organic root to it? Is there a disease base to it as well? And all those things haven't been tackled or thought about at the moment. We're still on a very early journey within that sort of research. But those are some of the answers that Wavelengths is trying to answer, because actually we are looking at preventative toolboxes for people, really, for want of a better word, to improve people's health, improve how they're feeling.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when we look back at some of the ancient wisdom, you know, social connection, community, tribe, belonging were also fundamental. And actually, a lot of the studies around the Blue Zone work have shown just how important social connection side of our health and well-being is. And yet often health has been pivoted around physical fitness, diet and sleep.
I think it's interesting you make the connection with sleep. We know loneliness really does affect one's sleep patterns. And sleep patterns can have a direct impact upon loneliness as well. So it's not just that we've got people working on shift work. It's because they are getting up at different times of the day. It's out of that natural algorithm for the body. And those things have a direct impact. There seems to be a link, particularly as boys are to early into adults, the impact there seems to be as they're growing, they're maturing, they have disrupted sleep, need more sleep, and therefore it's not just being a teenager not being able to get out of bed. It's actually the physical changes and the body needing to catch up. So enforcing they've got to be at school, 8:30 in the morning or 9, etc., might not be the best things for them within that period, and maybe triggering a lot of these other consequences through that. But we also know loneliness will disrupt that sleep pattern, and therefore we know sleep is extraordinarily important to things like weight, overall health, life expectancy. So a lot of these things are very much interlinked, but loneliness seems to be one of the totally misunderstood driving factors within this. And that's why it would be very, very effective in terms of cutting a lot of the costs we're facing by actually starting to tackle the issue.
So tell us a little bit more about Wavelength.
We started off really through somebody called Pilgrim, who happened to be what was then called a social worker. He then became a priest. I started this idea of how do we get people more connected, really, when they can't get out and about, when they're lonely and they're isolated. And their view at that particular time was they needed to be entertained, they needed to be able to link up to world events, the news, etc. And then they partnered, and the BBC were very keen to partner with this particular group for lots of diverse reasons. It just grew to donating bits of technology, so it then moved into TVs, and you can see the influence of the BBC, a window on the world, connecting people, bringing the outside in, etc. But we then, and I think more under my steerage, felt there was a lot more to be done. There's more people we could service, more people we could help. And it wasn't just by producing links to very basic bits of equipment, though we still run a grants program, which does do that for people who are very disconnected and can't afford to take that step themselves. But now we're concentrating really upon the research, how we can help on a number of different levels. I'm concerned people are well, and really my job is about bringing happiness, is banishing loneliness, and that's what I'm focused on, and we've got to really build a good toolkit to be able to do that.
So how can anyone listening help? What are the things they can do to either help themselves, help people within their community, and help Wavelength?
Well, there's a range of things. I think number one is understanding you can make small changes to the way things you do. So if you're lonely and isolated, and some of these go back to those primal instincts. The Scandinavians have got this concept of hygge, which I think is extraordinarily important, that coziness, warmth, going to candlelight rather than electricity and bright lights, starting a fire, etc., and sitting around it. And that may sound a very basic thing, but actually it is about being human. I think improvements in diet, the quality of diet you're eating, the variety is important. One thing in terms of what we lack is are vitamins around sunlight, so things like mushrooms and including those in your diet can be extremely powerful because they lock away sunlight, as it was. So they can help and boost. The other tip I will give people, the Japanese talk about green bathing. They have this wonderful term. This is our connection to nature. So one of my top things would be actually go out, have that walk, even if it's on your own. Connect with nature, follow some of those activities. but also try and bring it indoors if you're not able to get out and about easily. So it is having something green in your home, picking up a dry leaf, a stone, a pebble, a seashell. So these are independent of having to have social interaction. I think the other things I would say is that there's good evidence through breathing exercises, yoga, this idea of meditation as well, which helps calm the nervous system. Things which will help you with things like the vagus nerve, like tapping, what's important to you, your feelings of belonging. And this, to me, as a past archaeologist, comes into understanding self within the historic culture, where you come from, who you belong to, who belongs to you. So sense of belonging, I would say, is extraordinarily important. And that isn't necessarily the same as connection or social connection, because it can come from understanding one's past, where one's families come from. And I think that family connection is something we have lost within the UK. And the levels of happiness seem to translate through that as well.
Yeah.
So regaining contact with family seems to be important. We see that particularly within the homeless sector we work with. Giving choice of how people regain that contact is also important. In terms of my first message, because everybody misunderstands us as a technology charity when we're actually about bringing happiness and trying to conquer loneliness, is go and see your neighbour. You know, it doesn't just expect somebody to have the radio on 24 hours a day. They need the contact. And that personal contact, we know touch and face-to-face communication, it's a little bit of fairy dust. You know, it's great doing a Zoom call with you or something like that, or having a telephone conversation, but actual physical presence with people within the same space is vastly important.
Yeah.
And that, we know when people become withdrawn, it just builds on social anxiety that people may have anyway. And that also sort of pings into loneliness and then into health issues. So having contact with people is extremely important. Small acts of kindness are really important. Just the ability to allow somebody to pass you on the pavement can mean the world to somebody. You know, that person who has been so disconnected from society and belonging to it, that they're sitting there trying to sell the big issue and everybody's trying to ignore them and go around them. Just saying, have a good day, no thank you, I don't want to buy anything. But engaging is important. Seeing people as human beings of value and worth, extraordinarily important. You know, those things are valued within our society and our social status, because the part of being human, they are the drivers which help us. And actually, by doing those things, we know it helps us as individuals and actually improves our happiness, sense of worth, well-being, and health. So we've got nothing to lose by doing this. It's useful to measure and recognize the impact of loneliness upon you as an individual. Then what makes you not feel lonely? And concentrate on those areas and how that can help. And understand that each individual is different. So if you're trying to help somebody, it's not just a list of suggestions. It may be a list of actually doing something with somebody to help bring them out or see what's most effective to them. And that's where quite a bit of our research sort of starts to pinpoint the most effective interventions for different people. And the last bit of your question was, how can people help Wavelength? We need to fund our research and develop that, and donations are always welcome. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook, as well as our website.
Tim, thank you so much. It's been so insightful.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for the honour of inviting me and allowing me to talk to you. Thank you very much, Michelle.
That was Tim Leach from Wavelength. A reminder that connection often begins with something simple. Stay with us, because after the break, we'll bring these ideas together and explore what they mean for each of us in our daily lives.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science on UK Health Radio. Today we're exploring loneliness through both a global lens and a deeply human one. Listening to both Jean-Claude and Tim, something really stands out. As Jean-Claude shared, you can feel lonely even when you're surrounded by people. And as Tim said, it's not just about being near others, it's about belonging. And when that sense of connection is missing, the impact runs far deeper than we often realise. Which brings us back to something both ancient wisdom and modern science now seem to agree on. Human well-being has never been purely individual. It's relational. For most of human history, connection was simply part of daily life. Meals were shared, work was communal, life unfolded within families and communities. Today, our world looks very different. And while technology has brought many advantages, it has also quietly changed the way we relate to one another. So perhaps now connection becomes something we need to be more intentional about. And the encouraging thing is, as both Jean-Claude and Tim touched on, it doesn't need to be complicated. Connection often begins with something very simple. A conversation, an invitation, a moment of genuine attention. So this week, you might choose one small step. Reach out to someone you haven't spoke to in a while, or as Tim suggested, simply go and speak to a neighbour. Offer help. Give something back, or connect in real life or even online in a way that feels meaningful. Because if there's one thing both ancient wisdom and modern science remind us, It's that connection isn't just something that enriches our lives. Increasingly, it's being recognized as one of the most important foundations of long-term health and longevity. It's what sustains us. You've been listening to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science, here on UK Health Radio. I'm Michelle Hammond, and until next time, take care of yourselves, and of course, take care of one another. Remember, you can join me every week only here on UK Health Radio, where ancient wisdom meets modern science. To access expert-led masterclasses, professional training, and accredited courses, jump on over to teapot.org.uk. That's teapot.org.uk. Or for professional health and wellbeing support, visit michellehammond.co.uk. And if you liked this episode or any in the Ancient Wisdom Modern Science collection, please do share it and help us grow our listening community.